Surveillance cameras are everywhere today, from stores and stadiums to banks, airports, and schools. They are an integrated part of modern life. Take your real-time insights to the next level and learn how mobile sensors and artificial intelligence can help predict and prevent problems before they occur while improving your customer journey. Walkbase Mobile Insights puts the power of advanced sensors and deep computer learning to work for you. Take charge of your future and get in front of the power curve. Learn more today at walkbase.com. That's walkbase.com.
John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. I welcome Catherine Sampson, research fellow at PERC, Property, Environment, and Research Center, to comment on her testimony before Congress, the House Natural Resources Committee, about the pending bill called CECL for short, Conserving Ecosystems by Ceasing the Importation of Large Animal Trophies. Catherine, a very good evening to you. Your testimony in July of this year speaks to the scale of development going on in Africa and how trophy hunting is a tool, one of many tools, not only for income for these developing states, but also because it encourages the correct management of wild of habitat for these creatures, and at the same time in some way mitigates the very quick development throughout the continent by those building railroads and roads and dams. So a very good evening to you. I'd like first for you to explain the ambition of the CECL Act that you spoke to. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for having me on your show. The CECL Act would effectively undo decades of successful market-based wildlife and habitat conservation in Africa. Africa is moving from a colonial period into a post-colonial period, and is now entering a time of increased economic prosperity, liberty, and an embrace of democracy. And what's accompanying that, as you described, is a tremendous economic growth, particularly in East Africa and Southern Africa, but actually across the entire continent. But those two regions in particular are seeing significant investment. And for wildlife conservation to continue to be practiced in this type of environment, it must be economically competitive with other land uses. And for several decades, trophy hunting has been able to achieve that, and it's achieved that in a number of ways. First, you've got a direct economic incentive for rural communities to conserve large expanses of wildlife habitat in an area about 6.5 times the size of the U.S. national park system across the entire African continent. And that incentive is delivered typically by revenue-sharing agreements with trophy hunting outfitters. In some countries like Zimbabwe, the rural community gets 50% of the revenues from the trophy hunting operation. In some places, this has increased household incomes by as much as 25%. And because of these cash revenues, communities have less of an incentive to convert wildlands into agriculture or other uses, and they've got every incentive to maintain them as healthy wildlife habitats and to maintain healthy wildlife populations. But it's also not just the cash income that comes from trophy hunting. It's also the increased food security. There's this misunderstanding that when trophy hunting occurs, the animals are not eaten, and that's far from the truth. Typically, those animals are consumed by rural Africans, and this has had a tremendous impact in places like Zambia, where several tons of game meat are distributed to rural communities each year, increasing their food security, and again, decreasing the economic incentive to destroy areas of habitat, but also in the case of the food, to go out into the bush and to kill animals on a large scale, typically using snares and traps, means that cause horrible lingering deaths for these animals and that are indiscriminate, and that, you know, where it has occurred, typically in places where trophy hunting is not present, we've seen the wide-scale decimation of wildlife populations.
I learned from Catherine that the 13 African nations have trophy hunting for revenue and management. There are African nations, though, that have banned trophy hunting. And what can go wrong and why during the ban? In her testimony, she gives evidence of three in particular. This is Kenya, Guinea, and Tanzania. In Kenya, which I learned from you was banned big game hunting in 1977, they are welcoming the development of a railroad and, you say, a six-lane highway by Chinese construction companies. And won't that badly cut up the habitats? Won't that, in effect, wreck the incentive to maintain the wild game that they claim are being protected by their ban?
That's exactly right, John. I mean, what we're seeing in Kenya is a tragedy unfolding. As you mentioned, they banned trophy hunting in 1977, and that has had the impact of reducing incentives to conserve wildlife and habitat. There's recently been research published showing that some wildlife populations, animals that are common elsewhere in Africa, have declined as much as 66% outside of the country's national park system because those lands have been converted to agriculture or even more intensive development. But even within the national park system in Kenya, we're starting to see large-scale developments, as you mentioned, railroads, accompanying highways. Energy development is certainly playing an increasing role. And African economies, you know, should be encouraged to develop. You know, Kenya is very much on its way to being a middle-income country, and that's a good thing. You know, we don't want to see people living in poverty. But what we need to do is make sure that development occurs in a sustainable way and that we're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater by undermining the integrity of ecosystems in the rush to raise economic standards of living.
My memory of what I've learned about game hunting entirely is when it's banned, what happens is there's an incentive to kill it and cover up, that you just simply remove the blot from your neighborhood or your wildlife habitat because it's more convenient to develop that way. There's no reason to preserve it. Is that what's going on in Kenya? They just remove the animals because they can't sell them.
That is happening in some places. What we've seen in some of the areas adjacent to national parks is what are known as retaliatory killings of elephants. Most, you know, people in the West would have no experience with this, but elephants are very dangerous animals, and they do kill dozens of people across Africa every year, including in Kenya. And in some of these communities adjacent to national parks, the elephants have killed people, you know, very often elderly people, children walking to school. And the lack of incentive to conserve the elephants plus the slow response from the wildlife authorities has led people to take matters into their own hands. And so we're starting to see the elephant carcasses pile up and these retaliatory killings are quickly becoming as much of a threat as the commercial poaching, which more people are familiar with. And it's because people don't have an incentive to conserve.
Right.
These animals don't generate any revenue for them, and they don't improve their livelihood. You know, quite the contrary, they present a risk to their lives.
Two other countries where there's development going on because the population is growing very quickly in Africa. In fact, the world population chiefly will grow because of Africa for the balance of this century. In Guinea, there's a dam. In Tanzania, there's a dam. And I'm going to guess, Catherine, that these dams will threaten the wildlife habitats as profoundly as the railroads. And there is no easy remedy unless and if they manage their wildlife. Are both Guinea and Tanzania countries that ban trophy hunting, or do they work with it?
So Guinea does not allow trophy hunting. Tanzania does use trophy hunting as part of its holistic conservation programs. And, you know, what both of these cases with these dams highlight is that Africa is a rapidly changing landscape. It is no longer the environment in which the conservation programs that have been in place evolved. And trophy hunting can provide part of the answer to making habitat economically competitive with other land uses, like the generation of hydroelectric power. But we need more tools in the toolbox. You know, it's not a question of do we embrace photo tourism or do we embrace trophy hunting. These two practices are critical and essential partners in facilitating the conservation of Africa's wildlife. But we need more tools being brought to the table, and we certainly don't need tools taken off the table, which is what the CECL Act would do.
I'm speaking with Catherine Semser. She is at PERC, Property, Environment, and Research Center. She's a fellow, talking about her testimony to the U.S. Congress pending a bill called CECL to prevent trophy hunting. And Catherine is making the case that trophy hunting for 13 nations in Africa is viable and preserves the habitats much more effectively than banning. When we come back, what is to be done? What are the remedies that work? And what are the scandals that are generated by incomplete headlines? I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.